Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to Trendy, presented by Omaha After Dark Edition. This is a show where we're exploring the best ways to wager for casual cappers, and we are recording late, Mark Gunnels. It is after the Hawks and Bulls had played on Wednesday night. We don't have to look too much back at that one. I don't know what to take away besides the fact that I'm sad I can no longer fade the Hawks. Like, bring them back, give them a special exemption, let them play in the playoffs anyway, because I want to keep betting against them for as long as I can.
Yep, you got to wait about 6 months now, right? Until next season.
And who knows what they're going to look like, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
I mentioned this on Monday. I can't believe all the Trae Young should be traded talk that was in my timeline on Monday. They still had a game 48 hours away, and they were already talking about getting rid of him. What are they going to be talking about now?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason for them. You know, I was talking to one of my buddies just floating around ideas. I don't know how this would happen or if it's even realistic, but we're talking about, man, Wemby needs some more talent around him. Imagine if they could get like a Trae Young point guard for a Wemby. I think that would be a sick duo.
Do you think it would be a sick duo? Like, if let's say they were able to package together some contracts, some future picks or whatever, and like their nucleus then became Trae Young and Wemby and whatever's left around them. Like, that doesn't seem like enough to me. Like, it seems like if you're going to spend your powder, if you're the Spurs, you got to spend it on somebody different than Trae Young, no?
I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't think it's the final affinity stone to their, you know, becoming a legit contender. But, you know, I think it would add some excitement. I think it would put them in at least in the play-in discussion for next year.
I think they're in the play-in discussion without him. I mean, Wemby, I said this last week, Mark. I don't think Wemby misses the playoffs if he plays 65 games the rest of his career. I think the only way that he never makes the playoff again is through injury.
Are you counting that as the play-in? Or are you talking about they're going to actually make the final eight?
Look, I'll go all the way. I'll say final eight. Like, that guy is unbelievable as a disruptive force on the defensive end. And his offensive game matures every single time we see a new tip. Like, what he was doing at the end of the season on his terrible Spurs team that people weren't paying proper attention to because they were losing 60, 65 games, is like, it was magnificent. And, like, the Nuggets needed that game. The Nuggets are the presumptive title winners here, right? Like, they have the best odds to win the championship. Actually, I think the Celtics have slightly better odds, but that's more of a reflection of the conference and the gauntlet that the Nuggets have to run through. They're the defending champs, and Wemby just like snatched their soul from them. Like, I don't see a world where he plays 65 games where they win less than like 46-47, which should probably elevate them above the play-in most years.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant for next year. Now, beyond that, I agree with you. I just got to see how they fill out the roster this offseason, especially because this is a pretty weak draft on paper. So I'm not that excited about whoever they can add with a top 3-5 pick. So I got to see what they do in the offseason for me to be on that bandwagon for next year. But beyond that, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm on it early, but I'd rather be on it early than late because I think the destination is going to end up the same. Like, that guy is just an amazing force. But another amazing force is Mark Gunnels with his betting picks. 10.7 units on Monday, delivered on almost all of your picks. They almost all hit. You got Coby White tonight on his 3-3s. You were able to pick up the Kings. I mean, you did very well, and you've got to be happy beyond just your results because the Lakers took care of business. They did it for you. They now have the Nuggets. They now have a full slate of rest. How are you feeling heading into that series?
I feel good, man. You know, I stand very firm on what I said the other night, that these are the two best teams in the Western Conference, and I think you're going to see it in this series. This is going to be a 6 or 7 game series. There's no doubt in my mind. And I know they got swept last year, but like I keep saying, everybody keeps saying, every single game came out to the very end in the fourth quarter. The Nuggets just out-executed them. And LeBron was not 100% at all last year. He had that foot injury going on. They had two rounds previous before that Nuggets matchups. And now you get him essentially at his freshest, right, for the playoffs. in the first round off of 3 or 4 days rest. You hope that AD can get right. So I do think, and there's a lot of pride that goes into this. They've been hearing about how the Nuggets have beat them 8 straight times. So you're going to see it, even if they don't win this series, it's going to be a lot more competitive, and they're actually going to win some games. I have no doubt in my mind. It's at least going 6, maybe 7 games.
All right, well, let's run through. We have 6 series that are set, so we have 6 lines over on Caesars that are already posted. Starting with your beloved Lakers, they're plus 300 to win the series. The Nuggets are minus 380. Would you touch either one of those, or would you rather look at the adjusted about whether this would go 6 or 7 games?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would definitely take a stab at the plus 300 for the Lakers. I don't see much value with the Nuggets there at minus 300. So I think when you have a LeBron and Anthony Davis, and if D'Lo, he's kind of the X factor for me. If he can play some consistent basketball and knock down some shots, that adds another dimension to this team. So they have a puncher's chance. I think it's definitely worth taking a stab at the plus 300 for the series win. But if you're looking at the series spread, I mean, you know, you got, I'm looking at it right now, Lakers minus
plus
135
to take it. Plus 135 to take it to the 7th game. Like, no matter how the ball rolls in game 7, you've already cashed the bet. So would you rather have – you're a homer. We've already established that on Monday. We don't need to rewind that tape. But would you rather hold a plus 300 to win the series ticket or a plus 135 to take it to 7?
Plus 300 to win it, because if I can get to game 7 with LeBron, considering his history in game 7s, I'm just going to go all the way in at that point.
Yeah. I agree with that take. I think, like, if you really believe in, 39-year-old LeBron and AD at 31 with a bad back, being able to take down the champs, you're going to want that payday. Like, don't hedge. Don't worry about a game 7 in Denver and worry about the result there. Like, just go ahead and take it to plus 300, because it's not the craziest bet in the world. I mean, they were the world champs. Like, granted, it was a COVID title or whatever it was, but, like, LeBron doesn't look overly diminished from where he was when he lifted the trophy just a couple of years ago. Like, I think that's one of the great things about him, is how consistent he's been in his old age. Like, once he advanced into this old man period of his career, he's remained fairly consistent during that period. So if he had the ability to win it during COVID, I don't think it's nuts that he could take down the Nuggets. I don't know if 3-1 is quite enough for me, but I'd rather have that than the plus 135 just to, like, stay in it till 7.
Yeah. That's probably the most credit you've given the Lakers since I've been on this show. So I'll take that. I'll take that to the bank for sure.
All right, fair enough. I might give them a little bit more credit later, particularly in the credit category. So stay tuned for that. Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Phoenix Suns. On the series, we have very close to a coin flip. Interestingly, Mark Gunnels, the Suns are the favorite. So before I even tell you the number, does it surprise you that the Suns, the 6th seed without home court, are favored over the Timberwolves?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all, especially because the Suns have more of the bigger names, if you would. You know, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. And before the year, they had all this hype about them being a quote-unquote super team, right? It hasn't quite panned out that way thus far. But I do think this is an ideal matchup for them, because I believe they won 9 of their last 10 games against the Timberwolves. Like, they pretty much have owned them throughout the last couple of years. So, and then you got Cat coming back from his injury. He's still not quite the same. And then we know in the playoffs, Rudy Gobert can kind of be a liability, especially offensively, where he can be unplayable at times. And the Suns can play a small ball lineup with Kevin Durant, even at the 5 at times if they want to. So it's going to be interesting to see how that matchup plays out. But no, it doesn't surprise me at all. The Suns are favorite.
So they're minus 135. The Wolves are 115. Would you take the Suns at minus 135? Are you buying into that narrative? Or are they favored because of the narrative, not because of the actual, like, likelihood of outcome on the court? Because we know that Vegas wants to get equal money on both sides. The narrative helps that. Which is the more likely result over 7 games, though?
This one is probably the toughest one for me to pick a side on as far as the series goes, because I can see a legit argument both ways. But I think I would rather be on the Sun side. I really do.
Yeah.
I just think the matchup just favors them really well. And I think it's more at stake for them. You know, with Kevin Durant getting up there in age, obviously. Devin Booker's been to the finals before. Bradley Beal's getting up there. This is a team that has to do it now. Though, you know, Timberwolves, they're still young. You know, Anthony Edwards is only, 23, 24 years old. So I think they have more, they're more desperate. So I would rather be on the Suns side.
I agree with you. This is one of the toughest ones to handicap. I've been making money on the Wolves all year, but I've also been noting the difference between regular season and playoff basketball. And the Suns are particularly adept at having mid-range to three-point shooters. And so if they just put Rudy in a pick-and-roll over and over again with Beal, Booker, or Durant, I think they might be able to play him off the court. And if they play him off the court and Cat is not 100%, that's a big hill for Ant to kind of climb by himself. And so I think -135 is at the outer edge of decent value. But, you know, if this is a heart pick, I think the Suns are able to get it done because of their, not unique, but their specific setup and how well they shoot the J and how bad that's going to be for Durant on switch, not Durant, on Gobert on switches.
Yeah, 100%. And then another name we haven't mentioned as well is Grayson Allen. I mean, he's been a very, very nice role player for Phoenix, especially when, you know, you had guys like Bradley Beal missing time. He was able to step in and fill in a higher role as a scoring option. So, yeah, I just think they have a little bit too much from Minnesota.
Guy named Grayson out of Duke, newly rich. Who would have figured out? Like, that guy was destined the entire time to have a big old bank account. Let's find a way to grow your bank account, though, Mark, as you feel really strongly about this series. Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Orlando Magic. Cavaliers are a heavy favorite. Heavy favorite at -200. The Magic are +165. What are you doing in this series?
Yeah, so I'm not touching the series winner because there's not much value there. And as you mentioned before we got on here, this is the one I'm the most confident about. And I think for good reason. So if you look at the actual series spread, and, you know, I just looked at it right before we got on and we were kind of raising our eyebrows a little bit, right? And when I saw this one, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm all over this one. Because I think the Cavs win this in 4 or 5 games.
-2.5, +220 if you want to push it all the way up.
Yes. So I'm taking that. That's where I'm going with the -2.5, which means the Cavs have to win at least 4 or 5. You know, because I think five is probably. I think they win in 5. So, you know, 4-1, obviously, they still cover that 2.5. You get that at +220. You know, this Magic team, good story. You know, I'm glad they made the playoffs for the first time in a while since Dwight Howard's been there. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where you got to lose before you can win. And the Cavs, you know, they had a tough series last year against the Knicks in the first round, if you remember. That was a nice, grueling series. Went back and forth, but they couldn't get the job done. A lot of speculation about Donovan Mitchell, what his future looks like, and Garland, or can they play together? So I think they do kind of put it to the Magic in this one, and they win at least 4-1. So I love that value there.
Is your bet there more about the Cavaliers or the Magic? Are you hating on the Magic, or are you loving on the Cavs?
It's more about me hating on the Magic.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. And so I've been betting on the Magic all year, but, you know, same with the Timberwolves. There's difference between regular season and playoff basketball. For me, Mark, in this series, I'm going to bet it game by game because I'm not hating on the Magic quite as hard as you are. And like the +220 value, I think you could recapture that. If you really wanted to bet the Cavs like games 1, 2, and 3, you could probably start like, and then you start adjusting the spread a little bit. You could probably capture about the same amount of value, but I want to see how this young Magic team comes out in game one, because I'm not completely sold on this Cavs team. This Cavs team has been up and down all season and has plenty of holes in it. Like, you've already mentioned some of them and the narratives that have gone on about whether guys can play together. And if Banchero and others can exploit that, like, I might want to go back and forth. I might want the Magic in game one, Cavaliers in game two, you know, whatever it might be. And so I'm going to stay away from the series bet. I'm going to watch game one, and then I'm going to take action on it.
That's fair. I'm not mad at you taking that stance, because like I told you, this is more of a me fading the Orlando Magic than anything. So yeah, I'm not going to be the guy that's just say that I just love the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I do think my thinking is they win the first two games at home, and then the Magic win one in Orlando, and it comes back to Cleveland, you know, 3-1, and they close it out game five.
Yeah. Entirely well possible. I just, I wish I liked Cleveland more, you know, like I like trying to fade in experience and I like trying to fade youth and the first time there, I don't like Cleveland enough to fully take advantage of like the series level versus the game level. Want to see game one and see the evidence. Are you surprised to know this, Mark? I've already played this game with you once. Let's play it twice. Are you surprised to know that the Sixers are the favorite over the Knicks, the 2 seed in the East?
No, not at all. I mean, if you look at the standings, they only finished 3 games behind the Knicks, and Embiid missed what, like 30 games, 25, 30 games. So I think it's safe to say if he never gets hurt that they would be the 2 seed in the East, considering they're only 3 games behind them and he missed all that time. So they're the better team. You know, the Knicks got home court advantage. That's great, but I don't think that really is going to mean too much. Embiid looked a little rusty tonight, but he played well in the fourth quarter, scored about 13 points, I believe, in the quarter alone. You know, Maxey's been playing at an all-star level all year. And I think missing Randle is going to show a little bit in this series, in particularly because I just don't know about their depth. You know, they play a lot of guys heavy minutes. You know, that's kind of the Thibs thing. What he does, he runs guys out there for 40 plus minutes. Like Josh Hart never comes out the game. And I just think against this Sixers team, that's going to rear its ugly head.
Yeah. I guess they're not quite favored. It's basically a toss-up. It's Sixers minus 105, Knicks minus 115. So misread that for a second, looking at that reverse, but still, it's more or less a toss-up between the 2 and the 7 seed. And what I think is interesting, Mark, and maybe like, you know, this is going to be the most popular talking point between now and Friday, but with the Sixers and Embiid in the East and LeBron and AD and the Lakers in the West, like, I didn't go back and dig through 60 years of NBA history before I'm about to make this point, but like, are these the most dangerous 7 seeds we've ever seen? Like, with as much talent as there is in the league, is it just natural that 7 seeds might have a better shot at toppling one of the greats? Or is the injury history with medicine being able to return people from injuries like Embiid, who probably wouldn't have come back in season in the 80s or the 90s, given the hill he was trying to climb, is that was the cause of just like really great teams being at the bottom of the seeds in the conferences?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I haven't done the research on that either, but it'll be hard pressed to find a year where 2 7 seeds had this much potential that you could see them both at least going to the conference finals if they can get out their first round matchups. And like I said, the Sixers aren't really a real 7 seed. They would have been way higher up there if Embiid didn't get hurt. And he was the clear MVP favorite at the time. I know it was early in the season, but he was going crazy, averaging 35 and what, 15, it felt like he was going nuts. So yeah, I do think though it is a little bit of a pause with the Sixers because I'm not exactly sure how healthy Embiid really is. You know, like he didn't look too well tonight. Like, even though he did play good in the fourth quarter, still doesn't look quite as explosive as he was in the first half of the season. But I do think they do have a good path. And I mentioned this on Twitter earlier because the fact they won this game was so huge because you get to avoid the Boston Celtics in the first round, get to play the Knicks. And then not only that, you play the winner of the Bucks and Pacers in the second round, and it may be the Pacers, you know, a little tease there, because I don't know if Giannis is going to play. So that's a pretty good path.
We're getting to that series next, but before we do, I'm hearing mixed reviews from you. Embiid might not make it through the series, but you like Maxey, you like what you saw from them. You're not surprised that they could potentially be favored. So at minus 105, are you backing the Sixers in the series, or are you taking the 2 seed in the Knicks?
Oh, the Sixers, 100%. Yeah, it's not even a discussion for me.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll ask you the same question I asked you in the last series. Is that you fading the Knicks, or is that you loving on the Sixers?
Actually, it's both. It's a mixture of both. I think missing Randle is gonna play big in this series, and I just think the Sixers are a lot better than their seeding.
Yeah. Okay, I think I agree with you. Like, the Embiid thing makes me super nervous, right? Because if Embiid can't make it in deep into the series, then obviously, like, the injury balance starts to return, right, with Randle out and Embiid out. I'd rather have the Knicks lineup over the 76ers, and then you have the home court advantage and things like that. But something you brought up on Monday now plays in the 76ers' favors, which is in the first round, there's more rest. And so if Sixers are getting two or three nights off or whatever it might be to placate the television schedule, and he only has to go out there and kick it for 35, I don't think the Knicks have enough firepower to beat an Embiid even at like 80%, let alone with the healing that he might be able to go through stretches where he's actually 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think it is interesting, though, the odds on this one, how it's so close. I was a little surprised by that. I thought the Sixers would be a bigger favorite, but, you know, I get the whole home court advantage thing, and they probably don't think Embiid is 100%. Obviously, he's not.
Yeah, real home court advantage in MSG, obviously. All right, you already talked about them. Bucks, Pacers, flat coin flip, Mark. Caesars has both of these at -110, so we have a straight up boat race here. Which side are you backing?
Yeah, I gotta back the Pacers here. I know the Giannis thing; they're saying that he may come back later in the series. I think it's a lot of fluff. I think they're just trying to keep Indiana on their toes. I truly don't think he's playing this series. I really don't. You know, we've seen similar injuries like this with Kevin Durant. He's playing with the Warriors. Came back out, they probably rushed him, and then he tore his Achilles, and then he was out for the whole next season. You know, obviously, you want to maximize this time you got with Damian Lillard. I get that, but you got to look big picture, man. And if you're Milwaukee, I think you still should think that we can possibly win this series without Giannis. You know, while I disagree, I'm going to Indiana. Not like you're playing Boston, not like you're playing Philadelphia. You know, or even Miami for their sake, right? The team that's kind of had their number. You know, you should think with home court, you should still be able to win this series without Giannis, but I don't think so. I'm taking Indiana. They've had their number this year, even with Giannis. They went 4-1 against them. And the only game Milwaukee won, remember, was the Ballgate game.
Yeah,
remember?
A little bad blood between these teams.
Yeah, where they wouldn't give Giannis his ball back when he scored like, 60 points or whatever it was. So,
I had the under Indiana. That game, so I remember that game extremely well. That one plays into my brain.
Yeah, so I definitely think it goes at least back 1-1 to Indiana. It's going to be a rocking atmosphere there when they go back home. Give me the Pacers, man.
So this is another one where I would absolutely bet it game to game, because like if you want to, you know, put a unit into the jukebox and see what music plays, I'd rather just put the unit on the Pacers on game one when I know Giannis isn't going to be out there. And then, you know, consider what I'm going to do 2 and 3, because the information flow because of Giannis is like such a massive delta in the outcome of games. I'd rather just, you know, load up on my units early in the series and then react as I have better Giannis news than lock it up on predicting all 7 games with one bet. And so, like, you know, Friday's show, when we come back, I'm going to definitely be looking hard at the Pacers. Like, let me just go ahead and preview a little bit of what you're going to get 2 days from now, because, like, Mark, the over-under in that game is the highest over-under that they posted so far. It's 233, and I don't see how the Bucks get to, like, 115, 120 without Giannis. And so I can see how the Pacers get there. I don't see how the Bucks get there. So I love the game one action on the Pacers, and so I'm going game by game instead of the series here.
Yeah, I do think this is actually the best way to go about this series. I was just giving you a prediction just because for the sake of giving you one on the series, but I do think that strategy is best, especially considering with the Giannis news being so fluid, right? I feel like we're going to get updates after every game, you know, especially if they lose. Imagine if they lose game one. It's going to be all the questions are going to be about, will Giannis be available game two? They can't go down 2-0 to Indiana and going back to Indiana, right? So I think it's definitely will wrap it up. And I do think, you know, a little game one, I think the Pacers do win game one, by the way.
So I think this last line moved. I don't have a snapshot from Monday when we talked about it, but my memory says this is a little bit tighter. The Clippers Mavericks, the Mavericks are all the way down to -145, and the Clippers are +120. You were on the Mavericks on Monday. I don't think you're going to waver on that, but are you wavering at all on the value of the Mavericks now that it's not looking like -110, -120, it's all the way down to -145?
No, I'm going to eat the juice because this kind of tells me maybe Kawhi is not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, there was a report today that came out that they are preparing for him to be able to play. That doesn't sound too reassuring to me. And we know about Kawhi in the past and these mystery injuries. Not too much information comes out. His camp and his people around him kind of keep things in house. So with that all in mind, I think it's worth eating the juice here, because if you were to tell me for sure that Kawhi is not playing, I think this number drops down even further. So oh, yeah. I think it's actually still good value, considering I'm not sure Kawhi is going to play.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about the series on Monday, you were heavy on the Mavericks, and my counterpoint was if Luka can be contained by Kawhi dialing back the clock a little bit, I don't think the Mavericks have enough secondary options to beat playoff P and the rest of the Clippers. But if he's not out there, if Kawhi's not out there at all, Luka is going to eat, man. I mean, Luka might put up like 40, 12s, and 10s over the entire series, and the Clippers don't have enough firepower with or without Kawhi to deal with Luka putting up that line, unless they're going like Caitlin Clark style and tried to isolate Luka to the point and they shut down the rest of the attack and then starve them out that way. But I just don't see it. 145 is a heavy price to pay, but if we really have doubts over Kawhi, I think it's the only price to pay in this series.
Yeah, because I would not want to be on the other side if Kawhi's not there. You know, even with the plus 120, that's not enough value there for me to be on the opposing side of Luka and Kyrie in this situation. So, yeah, it's a very tricky line, you know, with so much doubt in the air. But I would rather be on the Mavs side, even with the juice.
Six games for the Mavs is only plus 110, too. So I would actually rather eat the juice at minus 145 than play the plus 110 to think they get it done early. Like, I would actually, you know what, Mark, it's not posted here on Caesars yet. They'll probably have it eventually. I'd rather play five games over six games. Like, give me, like, plus 300 and give me the reward of Kawhi not being out there and then running them off the court versus, like, only the slight uptick versus just taking them on the money line for the series.
Yeah, I think that's that's a great play to get maximize the value out of this series for sure.
Cool. All right, well, hopefully that maximized the value of you guys listening. Mark and I really running through the first six series. We're going to get back a little more granular and give you our picks for today going forward through the weekend right after this.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Mark, we are back, and it is a very awkward time for us to record the show. I apologize. We usually would do this Wednesday morning and be able to talk about the Wednesday night games, but those are already over. Nobody will take our action on games that already happened, unfortunately. And without games tomorrow night, you and I agreed, because we want to get some NBA bets down, that both tonight's show and Friday's show, the entire weekend slate is available to us. So anything that happens between now and Sunday is fair game. You were up 10.7. I didn't do bad. I'm at 9.1. So both of us heavily profitable on Monday's show, but that does give you honors. So where are you going in your heart category with this massive menu available to you?
Yeah. So with my heart, and you know, I love the Lakers. They're in my heart.
I heard the second best team in the conference.
Yeah, 100%, man. So, you know, as easy as it would be to take the points, because seven is a lot, I'm going all in, man. Lakers money line, baby, plus 240. You get 3 days of rest. LeBron and AD are going to be fresh. They're going to come in motivated. They're going to hear all the talk about how the Nuggets own them and they are their daddies. I think they come in and think this is a must win, I think. I think psychologically, just to get that win off the Nuggets, get that off your back, go up 1-0, put the pressure on them, and let them know that you're here. So I love this spot for the Lakers to win this game. And at plus 240, I'm going to take it to the house.
So much pressure. If after all that, after 82 games with the slog, the Lakers come in and steal the vaunted home court advantage off of the Mile High City in just one game after 82 games of the regular season, that would turn that whole series on its head. And so as a neutral, you're not a neutral, you're a passionate fan of the Lakers. As a neutral, I really want to see the Lakers win it, because I want to see like that clash. I want to see Jokic respond to that pressure. I want to see how the Nuggets back up the fact that they're the defending champs against the guy who's got four rings and a goat case. And so I think that would be awesome if they won the first game. So I'm not going to fail that bet. I'm not quite going to back it because I got some Lakers action later, but I am aligned with you spiritually as a fan of that being the best outcome for people who want to watch really high intense basketball over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you feel that way as a neutral. It's good to hear that from another perspective. So I do think it would be fun, and it would create just extreme drama and theatrics for this series, man. The Lakers go up 1-0. So I hope it happens, and I think it will.
I've said two nice things about the Lakers in the same show.
Yeah, this is breaking news, right, man. Now. You're having a record night.
I know. It's late. I'm getting a little loopy. So I'm going to continue that with my heart pick. I felt obliged to not just pick off of the Saturday, Sunday like feast that we have available to us. I felt obliged to dip in on the Friday night. And I'm taking the Kings. I know I just failed you on the Kings 48 hours ago. I know I did that. But the fact that it's only -1.5 at -115 over at Caesars when they're facing a Pelicans team without Zion, like, this is it doesn't seem right to me. I know the Kings weren't great down the stretch. I know that lighting the beam wasn't a thing that happened quite as much as it happened last season. I know that they kind of like disappointed people and they didn't live quite up to the expectations when people thought they were going to rise up the curve. But the Pelicans are without Zion, and I just don't see it. I don't see how they have it. Larry Nance Jr. and Alvarado were already playing 25-plus minutes with Zion in the lineup. Zion's out there carrying 36 minutes and 40 points. Those guys are already in the mid-20s. Like, what the hell are they going to do with Zion out? Like, those guys are already playing enough. And if you fill Zion's space with those guys, like, there ain't no way that they're getting to 40. There's no way they're filling the same impact. And so if Zion was out there, I would absolutely take the Pelicans in New Orleans. And I like that story a little bit better. But without him, the Kings aren't that bad. The Kings hate level, including me backing the Warriors. I mean, that was more about Steph than it was about the Kings. It's now risen to the point where it doesn't make sense to me. And only being a point and a half favorite in this game at -115, I'm there for them. I don't see how the Pelicans get it done. And thereby, by default, I got to back the Kings.
Yeah, I'm actually totally there with you on that one. I actually got a Kings play coming up here really soon. So you're going to find out.
All right. All right, so just like me and the Lakers, you don't have to tell because you already got action on the line with it. What do you got in the head categories? You're a Kings pick, you got something else?
Yep, so I got a little parlay here, two leg for you. So I'm taking the Kings. I got it at -1.5, and I'm pairing that with CJ McCollum over on threes made at 3.5. Got
Ooh,
both
that's
of those.
A big number.
Yeah, but he's cleared that number in his last 7 games.
Yeah.
And without Zion, I assume he's going to have even more shot attempts. And, you know, just looking at the month of April here, he's averaging 11 3-point attempts a game. Like, he's getting them up.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's getting them up, man. So I think 3.5 is actually a low number. I mean, he's had games this month where he's made 8 threes, 9 threes, 7 threes, 5. I mean, he's getting them up a lot. He made 4 last game, so he barely cleared it. So I get both of those plays at +225. I think for that value and for two things that I feel really, really good about, I'm going to take that every single time.
So you've already given us what a +240 on the Lakers. You just gave out another +225. I mean, like, this reminds me of the first time you came on the show and you went full Icarus and you were giving out like +2200s and crap like that.
No,
you
took that was way. This is way more tame compared to that.
It is a little bit more tame. Now that you gave me those McCollum stats, I do like it a little bit better. Thinking it through, they're going to be chasing, right? And so if I like the Kings, I like the correlation. I like if they're chasing McCollum, getting more threes, particularly late in the game, trying to close that gap. Because they like the other reason I took the Kings is like Brandon Ingram doesn't look like himself. If Brandon Ingram can't carry them offensively, then the load is going to fall to McCollum with Zion out. So I think that's a sharp play. Let me hear the rest of them, but that's a leader in the clubhouse of what I'm going to back. I need to take one quick dip into MLB because there's not 100% basketball fans that listen to this. Let's give it a little bit of diversity. And in ahead, I'm going back to a strategy that's worked pretty well for me, just digging into 2023 trends. But this time it has a distinct 2024 overlay because I'm fading the hell out of the Marlins. And the best, most effective way I found to fade the Marlins in the numbers was Nick Fortes and Jesus Sanchez to both not score a run on Thursday. If you take those combined lines, neither of those guys score because the Marlins don't score that much to begin with. They're bottom, I think they're bottom 6 or 7 in runs per game right now. You can get that all the way down to -101. And when I say they don't score, I mean specifically the team, but also these two guys. Fortes has not scored in 91% of games still early, but that means he's basically only scored once. And Sanchez is at 86%. And if you extend this to last season, both failed to score in approximately 70% of their games. And I think the lineup was actually better last year. So you can take guys who, by default, didn't score that much last year. This year, they're not scoring at all. Bad offense, bad team, good odds, -101 for my head play.
Okay. I'm going to keep that in my back pocket. And I was going to have a baseball play, but I have tunnel vision with the Royals, and we're recording on a Wednesday. They don't play tomorrow.
They're off tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, so they don't play until Friday, so there's no lines up for their Friday game.
All right, so, you can give them out on Friday.
Yeah, I can, because, we're recording early Friday. You're right, yeah. So for my head play, back to the association, the Phoenix Suns, I'm taking them game one on the money line. They're actually underdogs, even though they're favorites to win the series. I got them at underdogs in game one at +100. I think they come in, make a statement game one. They just played about a week ago in a game that meant a lot for both teams, and they smoked them. It wasn't even competitive. So I think you see a better game. I think it'll be similar to how we saw the Lakers and Pelicans play that first game. and the Lakers blew them out. And then the second one was a lot more competitive. The Lakers still won. I think you see a similar story here in this game one with the Suns and Timberwolves. So I love Phoenix here.
All right, so that was your heater play, not your head play, right? Your head play was the McCollum and Kings.
Yeah, I'm tripping. I meant to say this is my cred play. This is my cred.
All the way to your cred play. So you got two units on this. I got to evaluate this a little bit differently.
You got two units
on the Suns taking this down.
Yeah. I'm all on the Suns.
I mean, you talk about betting games game by game, and if our analysis is correct and they're able to really put a dent into the Stifle Tower, and he's not able to switch out on these guys who have a lot longer range than what you will see for a lot of people in that pick and roll, then I'm not mad at that at all. Two units, though. Well, I like your – I think I like the Kings McCollum play a little bit better, but, man. All right. I've already heard your cred pick. Let me sit with it for one more second. I did like it, which is probably not a good sign. Let's go backwards for a second to heater. I was on playoff unders, and I got an oldie but a goodie for you, Mark. It's called a Lakers under. Lakers Nuggets under 223.5. It is one of the highest lines out there next to the Pacers series. And you have seen it throughout his career. I've seen it throughout his career. LeBron, when he's on a lineup, he's on a team that is not as talented as the other team. And I think no matter what you want to say about the Lakers, in their current iteration with their current roster 1 through 12, at LeBron at 39, I think they are underdogs for a reason against the Nuggets. I think they're a less talented team, but LeBron, being so smart and such an amazing basketball mind, he wants to limit variance. And the way you limit variance in this situation is limiting possessions. And he wants to play a true grandmaster game against Jokic here because he backs himself as the ultimate grandmaster. So if they start slowing it down, if he's able to dictate pace, he's on full rest and there's sorts of things, I think we're looking at like a 101-99 game or like a 104-100 game, like a tight game, but not something that's a shoot 'em out. So I don't see this at like 120 to 115. And therefore, I like the under. Both teams finish under, 110, which will go ahead and make this a lock.
Okay. So, your nice analysis there. And I'm on the other side there.
You're taking the over, same game.
I'm taking the over, same game. I think the rest factor here is going to play big and them wanting to still play a faster tempo than maybe you think. And we know the Nuggets are going to be able to score as well at home with the altitude, and they're well-rested as well. So I'm banking on fresh legs from both teams. And, you need your legs to make jump shots. So I think they'll be able to – I think you're going to see some elite shot making in this game from both sides. I'm going to take the over there.
Okay. All right. I love it. Head to head. You're 1-0 head to head with me this week, which is why you're beating me. Let's see if you can make it 2-0. You already agree about your cred pick. And I already gave out my analysis. My cred pick is the Lakers +7. It is too many points for a game that I think is going to go under, that I think is going to be slower paced. I'm now getting some sort of correlation between my two bets and getting my analysis. And it is the most rest LeBron is going to have between now and the NBA draft. And so he gets to come into this 4 games rest. AD gets to ice his back or take his supplements that are injected into him, whatever it might be, whatever he's got to do to get out on the court. And I think this is too many points to the Lakers. Like, I don't know if it's too many points in game 3. I don't know if it's too many points in game 4 or 5. I think it's too many points for game 1. I wasn't mad at your money line pick earlier. Certainly not mad at my own under. And I think that they can keep this tight. So I don't know if they win or lose. I wouldn't go all the way to what you did, but I do think this can keep down to either two things, either a single possession late in the fourth quarter or a backdoor cover with an Austin Reeves 3, like with less than a minute left to go ahead and get this down to 6.
Yeah, you got a lot of good ones tonight that I'm thinking about telling for sure.
All right, well, time's up. I will go ahead and I will go Kings McCollum because I already have Kings action, so I don't like doubling down on it. But that's a great number. It was +225.
Yeah.
That's a great number. +225 for something that I already think is likely, and you gave me good McCollum stats. So I actually like your plus 225 value, even over the Hart pick I gave out at minus 115. So I'm going to double up on the Kings, send in the Pelicans home. McCollum gets his, but gets it in a way that doesn't actually allow them to win the game.
Yeah, and I'm going to cover myself here, and I'm going to tell you on the Lakers plus 7.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it all safe. Right. Yeah.
Go ahead and paint yourself in purple and gold. It's what you're going to do anyway. You might as well do it here as well. All right. Well, we both did extremely well on Monday. I like your slate. You like my slate. So we'll see if we can keep our trends going and keep making everybody a little bit of cash to spend in future rounds. Let's take our break, make a little bit of money from our sponsors, and then give out our second guest express. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, Mark, we are back. We've spent a lot of time in the basketball world. If I was going to venture a guess, you were going to spend a little bit more time with it, but I am going to head out to the green pitch of the soccer fields for tomorrow's Europa matchup. I am still an AC Milan believer. AC Milan has Christian Pulisic, so if you are a neutral, this is a game as an American that you can get behind because Captain America is one of the star players for AC Milan. There's a lot of other reasons. I like them, American ownership that I appreciate, as well as a bunch of former Chelsea players. And the reason I like this line so much tomorrow, Mark, is the way that this works is it's played over two legs. And so they're down 1-0 to Roma right now. And so if they're able to win the game 1-0, they'll actually go to extra time in order to settle the entire outcome of the tie because you have to do it over two legs. But you've already cast your bet. The plus 1-45 on AC Milan is the 90-minute line. So Roma doesn't have to, like, absolutely sell out and die trying to, like, win or lose this game. A 1-0 loss isn't actually the end of the road for Roma. And so I think AC Milan is the better team. I think the circumstances set up for AC Milan to be super aggressive in this game, and I like their offensive firepower enough in order to win either 1-0, 2-1, or even 2-0. So 145 plus 145 seems like great odds.
It's a good strategy right there. I like the way you're thinking on that with the scenario that's at hand there.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of it on these two leggers.
100%. So for me, I'm second guessing Pacers minus one game one. I said they're going to win game one before about 20 minutes ago, but I don't know why I'm scared to do it. You know, Milwaukee. Game one, playoff Dame time. He could have one of those games. He just goes crazy. And Tyrese Halliburton has been kind of shaky the last 20 games or so. So, yeah, that's why I'm second-guessing the Pacers minus one.
All right, I got about 36 hours till we record again to second-guess myself, but that is on my slate for Friday. So we'll see what new information comes out, and it might move from your second guess into my cred pick even, but we'll see. What happens over the next 36. What's happened in the past 36, though, Mark, is you guys did an excellent lemon pepper parlay. You guys really got into the playoffs. I look forward to everybody going back and listening to you and Martin. What do you thought were some of the highlights from that show?
Yeah, so, you know, Martin likes to get on Zion a lot, and he got injured. We recorded before that game, the playing game, so that was very unfortunate to see, but we talked about one thing I really thought stood out for me, and I mentioned it on here as well on Monday, was the fact that the Dallas Mavericks have the third best odds to win the NBA championship behind the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. And at first, it raised my eyebrow, but after I see their path, I can see why it makes sense, because I got them beating the Clippers. And then after that, they will play the winner of the Thunder and whoever they play between the Kings or Pelicans. I would like the Mavs in that matchup as well. So I think they are going to the Western Conference Finals. And at that point, all bets are off, right? So that was the main thing that stood out for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you like the Mavericks, we said this on Monday, but I think it's even more true as you talk about their path through. Like, get them now. Don't wait any longer to bet their futures, because that series against the Clippers is still pretty tight. You're getting good value on the future now versus what you'll get after they beat the Clippers, because that number has got to do more than half, because it's, you know, being affected right now by the quality of their opponent. I mentioned last week how much I love Chris Long, Wahoo Wah, but I also love Jeff Swartz. He was back on the network, was a big part of the network when we launched it. He was back on -3 with Dave on Monday. Make sure you go check that out. Make sure you come back and listen to Mark and I on Friday, and Brett and I do some soccer, more soccer, not just AC Milan talk, but Premier League talk on Thursday. Also getting you ready for El Clasico, Real Madrid versus Barcelona, the biggest rivalry in all sports, something else that we'll be talking about. So usually I would say go out and enjoy the games, but we just got some daytime baseball tomorrow before you hear our voice again, and a little bit of daytime soccer. Not as much action to dig into because we recorded this late, but we will be back on Friday to get you prepared for an incredible NBA weekend. Hope to see you then. Take care, everyone.